The news is like the first draft of history. You don't know the whole truth right away, but because you support WSHU with your donations, we'll be back tomorrow and next week and beyond, bringing you the facts on all the important stories. I'm Desiree DiOrio. Thank you for making WSHU your source for trusted news. Your contributions keep public radio strong. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut has not received an official warning yet on food stamp funding. Governor Hochul wants changes made to an aid in dying bill before signing it. Plus, parents of kids with autism in Connecticut say getting services has been a struggle. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut officials say they've received no official warning from the federal government about potential interruptions to food stamp funding. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
The Trump administration has given states until next week to hand over personal information about SNAP recipients or lose federal funding for the program. 20 Democratic states haven't done so, including Connecticut and New York. The comments were made by U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins on Tuesday, but a spokesperson for Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says they had received no official communications about the issue as of Thursday. Attorney General William Tong says the state is legally protected from sharing SNAP data because of a court order from a judge earlier this year. Tong says he'll use, quote, every legal tool available to ensure the Trump administration follows the law. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Governor Kathy Hochul is pushing for tighter conditions on a bill that would legalize physician-assisted death in New York State. The New York Public News Network's Jimmy Vilkind reports.
Hochul wants to make patients who seek life-ending drugs record their requests on video. People familiar with negotiations on the legislation say it's one of several amendments she proposed to state lawmakers as a condition for signing the Medical Aid in Dying Act. A spokesperson for the governor said only that she continues to review the bill. New York would become the 12th state to legalize physician-assisted death if the measure is signed. Advocates say the practice empowers patients and prevents needless suffering. New York State Catholic Conference spokesperson Bob Bellafiore opposes the bill, even with additional safeguards.
Amendments are basically deck chairs on the Titanic.
Hochul has until the end of the year to act on the legislation. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vilkind for the New York Public News Network.
The energy company Eversource wants a superior court in Connecticut to let them go ahead with a plan to sell off the water company Aquarion. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
PURA, the state's energy regulators, unanimously rejected Eversource's $2.4 billion plan after outcry from a wide range of state and local lawmakers. Among them was Attorney General William Tong, who said the deal would lead to skyrocketing water rates for Connecticut residents. Eversource wants to sell Aquarion to the New Haven-based Regional Water Authority, which would make the company a quasi-public entity and take them out from under state regulation. The Regional Water Authority joined Eversource on the court appeal. Nearly 700,000 people in Connecticut get their water from Aquarion. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
For families of children with autism, relief may still be years away. That story is coming up. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Music is a great gift for the person who has everything, and it is a great gift to give yourself. I'm Suzanne Bona, host of Sunday Baroque, and every December I compile a list of suggested recordings for your gift list, and best of all, you have a chance to audition these recent releases throughout the month, so you have a better idea of what you're getting. This weekend, you'll hear pianist Simona Dinnerstein's new album on Sunday Baroque. Sunday morning at 7 on WSHU Public Radio.
Brook trout are the only species of trout native to Connecticut, and new fishing rules arriving in January aim to give these cold water fish a fighting chance. Only trout 9 inches or longer can be kept in waters open to trout fishing, the first change to state trout regulations since the 50s. The state has also designated 22 new Class 1 wild trout management areas, meaning spots where you can only catch and release. The state of New York has barred Long Island's Locust Valley School District from requiring transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms based on their biological sex. State leaders have reiterated that New York law protects the right of transgender students to use facilities that align with their gender identity. A former Suffolk County official has launched a prison consulting company after serving 2 years in federal prison on corruption charges. Christopher McPartland worked in the DA's Corruption Bureau until he went to prison for conspiring to cover up a police beating. FBI data shows financial exploitation of New Yorkers over age 60 is on the rise, but New York State's Office for the Aging plans to launch a new weapon to fight this form of elder abuse next year. Greg Olson says it's an app called Silver Shield. Seniors can get a quick analysis of a suspicious text, email, or information about a phone call.
You can forward it on to Silver Shield. It will tell you the likelihood of, is it a scam, is there a risk, is it not, and what to do.
The data from the FBI shows financial losses due to exploitation of seniors rose by 27% last year to over $257 million, but Olson noted that just one case in 44 gets reported. Connecticut parents of children with autism are struggling to get services through a state program. Lawmakers tried to mitigate that problem by adding more spots, but an investigation found it could be years before they get help. The New England News Collaborative's Shujata Srinivasan has more.
Oh no, someone just ate Colonel Mustard.
It's almost bedtime for Keegan Kosminoff in Hamden. He's 18 and playing a video game.
Someone just ate Elvis.
Keegan has autism and talks to himself often.
Okay, Keegan, you have to take your medicine.
Karen Kosminoff is a single mom. She pours water into her son's mouth to wash the medicine down. Kosminoff says Keegan needs more help than she can give. She can't afford the coaching he needs to become more independent. She needs help too. She's exhausted.
I really think that he would do well in life if we had more support. I work full time. I take care of my house, my dog.
The Kosminoff family is waiting for services from the state's autism waiver program. It pays for home and community support for people who struggle with daily activities. But there's a massive backlog for those services. The last Kosminoff heard from the state was a letter in 2015.
Although Keegan meets the eligibility requirements for the program, we currently do not have an opening. His name has been added to the wait list.
10 years later, Kosminoff is still waiting.
The system in Connecticut has really let him down. If we were able to get services that he needed growing up, he would be able to live in an apartment and go to work.
Today, more than 2,000 people like the Kosminoffs are in the queue. Lawmakers increased the number of spots over the last few years to serve more families. But records reviewed by Connecticut Public show the money hasn't made a big difference. Nearly half of the more than 600 spots now available are going unused. The reason? There aren't enough people to run the program.
Honestly, that's a bombshell.
Sheldon Taubman is a lawyer with Disability Rights Connecticut. He says it's disappointing. So many families are still in limbo.
Everybody, including me, thought the issue was slots. And you're telling me, no, it doesn't matter. You can open up slots, there won't be services.
To bring new clients on board, the state needs case managers. They connect people with services, which is a slow process. It can take about a year. Each manager is capped at 40 clients. So to fill all the slots, the state needs to double the number of case managers it has today.
They need to do something about that. They need to really push on this to make sure those case management slots are filled.
Money isn't the problem. The Connecticut Department of Social Services has been authorized since last summer to fill at least two new jobs. But there were repeated delays, including changes in leadership at DSS and a mandatory statewide hiring slowdown this year. The agency finally started advertising the positions in October, soon after Connecticut Public asked about them.
Just because it's in legislation doesn't mean the agency hires the person right away. You know, everything's a process.
Christine Weston is the Director of Community Options at DSS. She oversees the program. Weston admits the agency is struggling to keep up. She says there's also a lack of providers. Connecticut's lower reimbursement rates don't attract enough autism specialists. So even when families qualify, they can't always find help.
There is a whole lot of resource constraints and administrative burden that we're trying to clean up as best we can in order to make it easier to just start getting on services.
But there's a long way to go. DSS has 5 additional case manager jobs to fill, and the agency concedes that won't happen anytime soon. Back in Hamden, the water's boiling for pasta. It's Keegan's lunch for school the next day. This makes him happy, especially the candy apple.
Are you going to give me that for lunch?
Yeah, is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I figured it'd be a change from the grapes.
Yeah.
Keegan gives his mom a big hug. It's really a tight squeeze. There's no respite from this labor of love. Day after day, she shows up as his caregiver.
I don't have a choice. I'm his mother, and I'm it. If he didn't have me, where would he be? He would be on the street somewhere. I'm the one that has to take care of him. I don't have an option not to. He's my son.
For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Sujatha Srinivasan.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or with the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And if you like what we're doing here with this podcast, or you've been a longtime listener of WSHU, consider supporting the station today with a financial contribution. Especially now with the abrupt end of federal funding, we are grateful for the generosity of listeners like you. Visit our website to learn more, or you can call us if you like. The number is 800-777-9748. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.